Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and founder of the website BetterHealthWhileAging.net. And this is the Helping Older Parents video podcast, where I cover the best ways to support aging parents and other older loved ones so they can live better lives in their later years. I also often address common caregiving concerns and other dilemmas, like what to do if you're worried about an older person's memory or safety, how to deal with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, and how to help your older loved one get the care they need. In today's episode, I want to talk about something that I get asked about fairly regularly, which is, can CBD and other cannabis products help manage agitation in people who have Alzheimer's or another form of dementia? So I want to talk about that in this episode. Since there's been some exciting new research that came out this summer, I thought this would be a good opportunity to review this topic and talk about how these products fit into our options for managing agitation when somebody has Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. Specifically, in this episode, I'm going to talk about what exactly is CBD and how is it related to cannabis and THC and marijuana. And then I'm going to talk about the new research in which a product that was mostly CBD, it was actually a mix of CBD and THC, was tested in a trial to manage agitation for people who had Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. And this was research that was just presented in July of 2026 at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference. And then I'm going to talk about other relevant research to this question. I'm going to tell you what's my impression of the pros and cons of CBD at this point based on the published science. And then I'll finish by talking about what I recommend you do if you're interested in exploring CBD or really any cannabis products to manage symptoms related to Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. So we're going to get started with that. But before I do, really quick request, if you're here, you find this topic interesting, or you've been finding the video podcast interesting, if you haven't subscribed yet, if you could please go ahead and subscribe, it would mean a lot to me. It helps me personally. It helps other people find the channel when you subscribe, and that does help support the work I'm doing. So let's now get on to CBD, agitation, and Alzheimer's. So first of all, what is CBD? So that's an abbreviation for cannabidiol. And so just to back up a little bit, cannabis itself refers to products and compounds that are derived from the cannabis sativa or cannabis indica plant species. This is also known as marijuana. And this plant contains many biologically active compounds. It's estimated that 100 to 125 of them at least are biologically active in humans. But two of them are especially well known. And so one of them is known as THC, and that stands for tetrahydrocannabidiol. And that is the main compound that gives people that high or feeling of intoxication. So when people say they feel high or stoned due to marijuana or some kind of cannabis product, it's often due to the THC. THC has other known effects, notably on managing pain and also on managing nausea. And for that reason, there are medical grade forms of it that have been studied and used, especially for the treatment of people who have cancer. And then there's CBD, which again is short for cannabidiol. So this is another important component that generally is considered to be non-intoxicating, meaning that it doesn't give people a high or a buzz or an intoxication feeling. Now, it is thought to make some people feel sort of a bit mellower, and it has been in particular studied for its effect on anxiety. And in a moment, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how these substances work in the body. What you should know is that both THC and CBD affect the body's endocannabinoid system, but in very different ways. So what is this endocannabinoid system? So this is really interesting. And this is something that I feel was like barely touched on when I was in medical school, because the system was really discovered mostly in the 80s and 90s, actually. But it's basically technically called a neuromodulatory system, but it's a system of innately produced molecules and receptors. So in that way, it's sort of similar to a hormonal system in our body, but it's the system of innately produced molecules and receptors that help manage and modulate the way our nervous system response. So both, you know, in our brain and elsewhere in our body. And it has effects wide ranging throughout the body. And it affects mood. It affects pain. It affects sleep. It affects anxiety. It affects the immune response, inflammation, memory, and more. And what's interesting is you may have heard, you know, that sometimes people who run a lot get a runner's high, and that's supposed to be related to the endorphin system. Well, actually, recent research suggests that it's maybe more likely to be related to the endocannabinoid system. So we have this system in our bodies with our own molecules that stimulate it. But what's interesting is that the receptors for this system, which are called CB1 and CB2, are affected by THC and CBD. They're fairly similar to the molecules we have within ourselves, and they can activate those receptors quite effectively. Now, THC, very broadly speaking, generally directly stimulates the receptors, fits right in, whereas CBD is thought to more modulate how the receptors interact with THC or with your own native cannabinoid molecules. And if you want to learn more about this, I will post links to some really interesting scholarly articles that go into this in depth for those of you who want to learn all about this system in the body. So because this our understanding of this system, we only became aware of it really, you know, a couple decades ago, there's still a lot of research going on to better understand it. So humans have used cannabis products recreationally, medicinally, in all kinds of ways for thousands of years, but it's only really in recent decades that we're understanding the science of them much better. And so why is there so much interest right now in CBD? So it turns out that these products have become much more widely available, especially since 2018. So in 2018, there was actually a federal bill that legalized hemp. Hemp is the same as marijuana, but contains minimal THC. And that meant that at a federal level, it became possible to provide products with CBD in all the states, although the states still get to regulate it themselves. So since then, I know that here in California and in many other states, CBD-containing products have become quite widely available. They are even available in grocery stores and drug stores. And that's important because now that people see it, they want to know what to do with it. So most of what you see in the grocery store is a supplement, so not carefully regulated. You can also find CBD-containing products and products with both CBD and THC in dispensaries, which now have been legalized in multiple states. The supplements in particular have been marketed as a natural way to, so because they're supplements, they can't promote a specific medical indication, but they will usually use vague language related to mood, relaxation, calm. They're essentially being marketed as ways to reduce anxiety, stress, or pain. And indeed, many people do report that they feel mellower when they take some of these products. So I think because of this, it's not surprising that that family members and people who are dealing with somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia, and again, I've talked about the agitation and sundowning, it's sometimes called, that many people with Alzheimer's experience. That's in one of my other videos. If you haven't watched it, I recommend that. It's very, very common for people with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia to experience some form of agitation, restlessness, getting upset, being irritable, or being very anxious, or maybe even having delusions or being paranoid. And so understandably, families and the people taking care of them are often desperately looking for something that can help the person settle down. And so it's not surprising that people have wondered what could these CBD products or other cannabis products be helpful. So we now have a little bit more information about this because this past summer, the results of the Libby trial were presented at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in 2026. And Libby is actually an acronym which stands for Life and Benefits of Cannabidiol and Tetrahydrocannabinol Clinical Trial. So what was this trial? They basically took 120 people who had Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. Now, importantly, these were all people who were either eligible for hospice or receiving hospice care. And then these people were given a combination of mostly CBD with a little bit of THC. The ratio was 4 milligrams of THC for 200 milligrams of a CBD twice a day. And they were given this for 12 weeks. They were actually given a half dose until week two and then more. So what were the results? So according to the study investigators who presented this as an abstract at the conference, they saw significant improvement with this treatment. So 84% of the people receiving the treatment improved compared to 30.5% with placebo. That was at 2 weeks. And by week 12, it was 87% who had improved compared to 23.6% with placebo. So that's a pretty substantial difference. Now, there were adverse events. They don't describe in the press release and the abstract specifically what they were, but about 46.7% in the active group versus 42% on placebo. And again, it was 120 people. The average age was 80. 55% of them were female. So what do I think of this? I think overall, this sounds very, very promising. We know that it's often really difficult to effectively treat agitation in people who have Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. There are things that you can do, and it's actually really important to do non-drug things first. And I talk about those in my related videos. But often, even after that, people are looking for something else. And historically, you know, as a last resort, providers and families have turned towards antipsychotics. So here is something that sounds like it could be as effective. And I think that's really, really promising. However, I still have a lot of questions. And part of that is because what we have right now is not the full peer-reviewed study that's being published. We have sort of like the preliminary results at a conference. So later when they publish the full study with more details about exactly how they did it, what side effects and adverse events were observed, I think that's going to be really useful because my questions right now are things like, well, what exactly were those adverse events? How did they determine whether people were eligible for hospice? That can be kind of tricky when it comes to Alzheimer's and dementia. How mobile or ambulatory were most of the participants, right? Are these people who are still up and walking around, or are these people who are mostly bedbound? What were their specific agitation symptoms that were being treated? And how did this mix of THC and CBD affect the older person's cognition, meaning how much more confused than usual did they seem to be, or maybe more sleepy than usual? And were there more falls? So those were some of my questions, but I do think this is promising because, as I said, our current drug options for agitation are not good. This definitely might be better. But my other thought is that this is, you know, CBD and THC are a medication that sound like they're psychoactives, right? And the risks and benefits of psychoactives are different when somebody with dementia is not on hospice. So that's the other thing I think about is this might be a really great option for people who are on hospice, but what if they are not on hospice? Because most of the time, the journey of caring for somebody who has Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, goes on for years and years before they actually become eligible for hospice. And so it's important to me to note that this is a study that was done in people who are on hospice or eligible for hospice and not otherwise in people who have Alzheimer's or dementia and are experiencing agitation. Now, why does this matter whether they're on hospice or hospice eligible? So there's another question, you know, how did they determine like who was in, well, we know who's on hospice, that's a Medicare benefit, but how do we determine who's hospice eligible to recruit them? But in general, if somebody is hospice eligible, that means that that they are likely to die within the next 6 months. So that means that generally the medical care is aiming for comfort and quality of life over the following weeks to months and not trying to optimize their mental state, their cognition, and their mobility for the coming years. We're not trying to keep somebody independent for the next several years. We're trying to make whatever time is left be the best possible. And that means that we might have increased tolerance for things that might affect thinking or falls because we're no longer, you know, again, thinking on the timescale of let's keep this person doing as well as possible for the next several years. We're really thinking about the next several weeks or months. Also, when people are hospice eligible, they are often quite weak, which means that many of them, although not necessarily all of them, are chair-bound or bed-bound. That means that there can be less concern about falls in this context. If someone is in bed all the time, they're actually much less likely to fall than someone who is moving around their house, their garden, and still trying to get around fairly independently. Lastly, when people are hospice eligible, they're generally not going to be living alone. They'll usually be living in some kind of setting where they get a lot of care and supervision, either at home with a family member, possibly also with paid caregivers, or they might be in a residential facility where there's a lot of assistance and supervision available. Now, I just want to point out that just because somebody is on hospice and they have dementia doesn't mean that they have necessarily reached what I would call end-stage dementia. And I am planning to do a video soon about stages of Alzheimer's and dementia, because I know people often have questions about that. The reason why it matters is because when dementia itself gets to very end stages, people actually are bedbound, barely moving, barely looking around, generally not speaking. However, many people who have Alzheimer's or dementia and are on hospice have not reached that stage. They're often on hospice for other medical reasons or because they've just generally become quite like frail and are getting hospitalized often, but they might still be actually quite, you know, moving around a lot. Why does that matter? Well, again, if we're going to give somebody a substance that might really slow them down or affect their memory or thinking, to me, it's relevant. Are they up and walking around a lot or not? So those are some of my thoughts related to this most recent research. Let me now talk about some of the other research that has been done when it comes to cannabis products and dementia agitation. So there are several studies that have been done. However, most of the medical research has been done on drugs that are based on THC. There are a couple medications that are real medications, not supplements, not things you get at the dispensary, that are based on THC. And those have been studied for agitation and dementia. And the results have been kind of mixed. They might decrease certain forms of agitation, but often it's noted that they cause lethargy and sedation. And this is not surprising because if you know anyone who has ever, used marijuana or gone stoned, the general effect of this substance, does tend to sort of slow people down. It's not something that generally perks people up. And to date, no cannabis product is FDA approved for dementia agitation. Now, in more recent years, there have been some small research studies that are focusing more on the CBD side of things. So for instance, in 2022, there's a study, a randomized trial. The primary author was Hermouche, and that was done with 60 people with dementia, and they were given a broad spectrum CBD-rich oil to kind of titrate up actually over time. And they did find that this reduced agitation, although there was a little bit more sleepiness and confusion in the group that was getting it. And then there's a more recent, very small trial, Pessoa and collaborators randomized 30 people with vascular dementia, where they were given CBD 30 milligrams a day. And they found that it reduced some of the agitation symptoms and did not observe cognitive changes. So this is promising. However, these are very small studies that are generally kind of, illustrating a concept that would be worth studying more in depth. That would be my take on these studies. Now, one question that comes up for me is, well, which one would we be better off using, cannabinoids or antipsychotics? Well, no head-to-head trials have been done. But there was an interesting study published a few years ago. Primary author was Sawicki, where they essentially did a chart review of 50 people with dementia for whom dispensary obtained THC was recommended. These were people who were enrolled in, I think it was a geriatric psychiatry clinic. So that's already, a particular population of people. And probably their symptoms were fairly significant if they were in that clinic. So many of the caregivers did go ahead and get the THC from dispensaries. So dispensaries tend to provide a higher quality, more potent and less contaminated product than you get in the supplement industry. So of the people who took it, 80% of them improved according to the caregivers. And half of those who had previously been on antipsychotics were able to decrease or stop their antipsychotics. However, many people did experience adverse reactions, including dizziness, worse agitation, and worse paranoia. But here, let's keep in mind that they were given THC, not CBD. And so THC is the one that, again, gives people more of the, what we think of as typical marijuana symptoms of being intoxicated, stoned, high, buzzed, possibly paranoid, right? We probably all know a friend who at some point took some marijuana and got a bit paranoid. So my take right now when I think about cannabis products for dementia agitation is I think this is really promising, to be honest. It's very promising, and there's still so much that we do not know. So it's not yet possible to make evidence-based recommendations. We do know that lots of people are using these substances right now due to the, you know, decriminalization in many states of marijuana products and wide availability of CBD. But that means lots of people are taking things and it's very variable what they're taking, which makes it a little harder to draw conclusions as well. My preliminary impression is that especially when it comes to people with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia, products with a lot of THC seem more likely to be problematic than CBD. I think they're more likely to be sedating, first of all, and potentially disinhibiting. So they might reduce agitation, but that might, again, be in the way of just zonking the person. So CBD, I think, sounds like it might be more promising. And either way, it's not at all clear to me that these products are going to be more problematic than antipsychotics, which are our current option when we've tried, you know, non-drug approaches and still find that we need something. And antipsychotics are themselves pretty problematic. The other thing I really think about is that if people are using supplements, supplements of all types tend to be of variable quality and potency. So dispensaries, it sounds like dispensaries may be a better option as they're more likely to provide a better product. So if you're interested in this approach, what should you know and do? I mean, first of all, I would strongly, strongly encourage you to let your health providers know that you're interested in it or if you start to pursue it, because ideally you will proceed with their knowledge and their support. Some of them may actually be able to advise you. Health providers right now have varying levels of familiarity and comfort with these substances, but they really should know if the person you're taking care of is taking this regularly, because cannabinoids do affect drug metabolism. They actually affect the drug metabolism pathways in the liver. That doesn't mean they're bad for your liver, but many drugs are metabolized through these pathways. And so if you're on a medication that alters that metabolism, it can change some of your other drug doses. So this is sort of similar to grapefruit juice, which is another substance that can change that drug metabolic pathway in the liver. If you do decide you want to go ahead with trying this, and I do know some family caregivers, we have some people in my online membership program, Helping Older Parents membership, who have tried this for their older parents. Generally, you should plan on doing a fair amount of trial and error to find a dose that works for your situation and, you know, also a combination, right? You know, is it going to be just CBD? Is it going to be CBD mixed with a little bit of THC? I think this is best done if you live with the person or are otherwise able to be very involved. I mean, they need somebody who's supervising and watching this very carefully to see what is the effect and what are the side effects or problematic effects that are coming up. You want to use a high quality product for sure. Start low, small dose, go slow. The studies I referenced did involve daily use. So yes, you might see an effect after a dose, but potentially, we're going to see a better effect with a lower dose that is used consistently. It looks like that might be the way it works out for many people. That might be safer too, from the perspective of not, you know, snowing the person or sedating them too much. Definitely be on the lookout for sedation or dizziness, which one tends to make people more confused, but also is a huge factor for falls, right? And then keep in mind that the long-term effects of taking this every day are unknown. So is this going to be something that might potentially accelerate somebody's cognitive decline? We really don't know. So again, if the person is on hospice and it seems like they're likely to die within the next several months anyway, you know, our consideration of is this an acceptable risk to take is different than if we're caring for someone who could easily live several more years, right? So that's what I have for now on CBD and other cannabis products for agitation in dementia and Alzheimer's. With that, thank you so much for watching. If you found this video podcast helpful, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe. It does help more people find the channel. If you've been listening to the audio version on the podcast feed, come take a look at the video if you get a chance. You'll see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you once again, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Helping Older Parents video podcast.